The Atlantic Ocean was 300 feet below modern levels. The British Isles were part of the continent. The southern North Sea was under ice. The most sheltered locales were deep river valleys in southwestern France, also in parts of Austria, and also parts of northern Spain. We think that these were the areas where many Cro-Magnon groups wintered, and then in the summer they would follow the summer migrations of reindeer and other animals onto the open plains to the north. Some fascinating research is beginning to track the migrations of reindeer north and south at different seasons of the year. Like the Neanderthals, but probably with far more sophisticated hunting methods, the Cro-Magnons followed and concentrated on a smaller range of beasts, although they were capable of hunting anything, and the reindeer was particularly important in their lives. The study of the Cro-Magnons has been going on at a hard pace ever since the 1870s, mainly in the hands of French archaeologists, who have identified a long series of Ice Age cultures, as it were, in Western Europe, which are of little more interest than purely locally. What we can concentrate on here, though, are not the names of these cultures, many of which had a rather limited distribution and are based on differences in artifacts, but to discuss some of the significant changes which affected European society after 30,000 years ago. These general trends are far more important for the purposes of studying human prehistory. One thing happened in some areas. Population densities rose. There was much more contact between neighbors. There were much more closely defined territorial boundaries as a result. This was important because you're dealing with issues like the number of people per square mile the land can support. At the same time, hunting technologies had evolved rapidly. Humans were now extremely skilled, adept hunters, capable of taking almost any animal at any time of the year, although obviously there were some animals that they avoided. The cave bear in particular was a formidable prey, and it is thought that in fact people were so effective at hunting them that they rapidly became very scarce and eventually vanished. But most hunting involved following seasonal migrations of animals like reindeer and bison. And, as we will see with the first settlement of the Americas, this sort of situation involves people in having contact with others because they were moving a great deal on a fairly predictable pattern following the migrations of reindeer, which would change from one year to the next. But at the same time, other people were doing this as well. And they began to have more contact, probably to engage in cooperative game drives, cooperative culls of reindeer herds, and so on. So there was a great deal more interaction, both in the matter of living, but also interaction socially. So you get more complex dealings between people, more interconnectedness. You see for the first time the beginnings of exchange of exotic items like seashells, which are traded from the Atlantic coast and the Mediterranean far into the interior. So the world's getting more complex. The human brain is envisaging all sorts of new opportunities. We see this, and of course, as I've said so many times before, archaeologists deal with the material. We see this in the blade technology, which allowed the development of all manner of specialized tools, some only used very locally. There's a form of beautifully made point flaked on both sides by applying pressure to the edge of the point, which is used very largely and confined mostly to southwestern France and is unknown in Eastern Europe. Then there is this enormous elaboration of bone and antler technology, especially for hunting weapons.